The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Please hang up and try again.
Grab a slice of the Epic Podcast. Don't stick it in your mouth. Put it in your ear holes now. Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from the beautiful and spacious Studio 6C in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 16. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Hey, Schaefer the Dark Lord, I owe you a dollar.
No, consider it a holiday gift.
Oh, thank you. Prior to the show, ladies and gentlemen, I bet Schaefer the Dark Lord a whole dollar that he would not say his name in a normal way as we introduce the podcast. And I think he just did it despite me, get a dollar.
I'm getting a jump on my New Year's resolutions.
Oh, really?
And that's one of them.
What are your New Year's resolutions?
I don't make New Year's resolutions.
I don't. I make one New Year's resolution every year, and it's been the same New Year's resolution for the past 6 years.
May I guess?
Sure.
I'm going to go with it's eat more pie.
No, actually it's not.
Oh.
My New Year's resolution, 6 years running, and I am glad to say I've always kept this resolution, is eat more popcorn.
Popcorn, that's what it was. Yeah. I knew I was close.
You were close. It is an edible object, but it's not nearly the same thing.
I've been making the same New Year's resolution for a number of years, too, and I have failed at it.
Dare I ask what you...
goes like this.
Okay.
Is that I want to try to spend the next year having a more positive attitude. In short...
Oh.
More fuck yeah and less fuck you.
Okay.
So that was New Year's, but you know, we are at the end of the year. This is our last episode of the year.
Last episode of the year. Yeah.
And it's the holidays.
It's the holidays.
Ho,
happy
ho, ho.
Winter holidays.
Merry holidays.
Yes, I hope you got everything you wanted on your Xmases.
Did you get to see Santa Claus this year?
You mean it like Macy's or like the North Pole guy?
Well, anywhere.
I've seen a
bunch. Santa Clauses are everywhere.
I've seen a bunch of Santa Clauses. I, as a New Yorker, every time there's a particular day of the year, if I see a Santa Claus, I am filled with so much city rage that I want to cosmically flip a galactic table.
Of course, you are speaking of SantaCon.
Fuck you, SantaCon.
The
fuck you.
Bridge and tunnel, beer soaked bro fest.
I want you to die.
Yeah, it's
die
horrible.
A horrible, painful death.
Okay,
SantaCon.
All right. Maybe you might have overdone it a bit.
A little bit.
Okay, not those Santas, but the real Santa Claus.
No, yeah. Well, actually, I was supposed to go with my nephew Enzo to go visit a Santa somewhere because he's now no longer afraid of Santa.
Aww.
But I couldn't go for whatever reason, so I have not seen Santa this year.
Yeah. If you had seen Santa, or jolly old Saint Nick, what would you have asked him for Christmas, Nelson Lugo?
I ask him for the same thing every single year.
Eat more popcorn?
No, and touche. Nice callback. No, I have asked for the same gift for about 5 years, and I haven't gotten it yet. And so... Christmas every year brings me the gift of disappointment, which is a lesson well learned at this point. I've gotten used to disappointment.
What is the gift that you ask Santa Claus for every year? What is the token of your annual disappointment?
I want a unicycle.
Why?
Well, because I would actually use it. If I had a unicycle, I would learn to ride it. And I would incorporate it in some ridiculously stupid way onto stage in some, you know, I just have this idea of being like the world's first magic magician unicyclist, where I perform magic on a unicycle.
Have you ever ridden a unicycle?
No.
It seems quite difficult. Have you ever ridden a bicycle?
Yeah. Yes, I've ridden a bicycle.
Look, we don't do many active things together.
That's true.
We do
That's
things. True. The things that we do together involve us walking to someplace
and then,
sitting there and watching a thing.
Sitting down for hours on
end. We don't hike or swim or ride bicycles.
Well, at least
so
not
it
together.
Just it surprises me that that you would want a unicycle.
I wouldn't use the unicycle for like recreational exercise purposes.
No, you would use it for showbiz, but it still requires a tremendous amount of physical prowess.
No, not necessarily. It
does if you're accident prone like me.
it requires about as much as a casual bike ride down the street.
I would argue that you can coast on a bicycle.
You can coast on a unicycle.
No, you don't even have to think about balancing a bicycle. You can sometimes just the gravity.
You don't actually need to think about a unicycle either.
You just said you've never ridden one. How would you know?
Because I understand the science involved.
Oh, somebody became a scientist in 2013. that's right. Internet, I said a scientist.
Oh my God, you're in rare form today.
Thanks.
But yeah, I ask. I always every year I ask for a unicycle, and every year I do not get a unicycle.
Every year do you eat more popcorn?
I do, but that's a New Year's resolution. That's not.
Well, I'm just saying these are two end of the year things that you do annually, and.
Yeah.
One of them requires you keeping your end up, and the other one requires Santa Claus keeping his end up. Right. And clearly to let you down.
Well, I mean, I always either maintain the amount of popcorn intake or I exceed it. So,
okay, that's terrific.
Yeah, and you, sir, what is the what have you asked for old Saint Nick? I think I know what it is.
I pretty much ask. I've
every year you ask for the same thing, and you don't get it either.
Well, it's one of two things. Anytime I have like a birthday or there's Christmas. I pretty much always ask for one of the same two things because I know I'm not going to get it, and I don't really want people to buy me gifts, and so I specifically ask for these things because I know nobody's going to do it. One of them I've only been asking for a few years. One of them I've actually been asking for since my childhood, and that one and that one actually might be a little bit more sincere. I had a white whale of Christmas presents when I was a kid, and it was the 1980 Kenner Imperial Walker AT-AT toy. Slash play set from Empire Strikes Back. I mean, I know they made them when they did the Power of the Force Star Wars toys in the 90s. They're basically the same. In fact, the one in the 90s is probably
it's the same
even,
mold. It's the same mold, actually.
No, I think it's the one in the 90s is better.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the more modern one is actually has more detail, like all of the Star Wars figures.
True.
But I always wanted that one that's about the size of a pet.
Yes, it's about the size of a dog.
And I always wanted it as a kid. Now, I'm not trying to say like I had some sort of like childhood where I was like deprived of toys. Like my family, they spoiled me and I got a lot of great toys. But that AT-AT, I always wanted it. Yeah. And I'll still always tell people that I want it because I know I'm not going to get it.
Well,
the other thing.
To be fair, a little sidebar, I tried tracking one down for you this year. I really did. And then I saw how much they cost. And my dear friend, I'm not going to get you that AT-AT.
I would actually be bummed if you did because I'd be like, Lugo, you have there are so many things you could be spending your money on.
Right. Like food and, you know, heat.
I posted online. Somebody had asked me online around my birthday this year if I wanted anything for my birthday. And I'd said, oh, yes. Why the 1980 Kenner Imperial AT-AT locker toy / playset. And my dad saw that post.
Oh, dear.
And called me on my birthday and was like, oh, you know, I looked around for that thing and I saw some people had it on eBay in the original box, but it was just way too much. And I was like, yeah, of course it was. And if you had bought it for me, I would have been disappointed that you had spent that much money indulging my goofy ass thing.
Right.
The other thing, but as I became an adult.
Yes. What's the other thing?
Crossbow.
I did not know that.
Oh, I've always said I wanted a crossbow.
I've never heard you say those words.
I don't really want a crossbow. What am I going to do with it?
I don't know.
It's a giant, expensive weapon that I'm just going to be tempted to fire into my apartment sometimes.
Dude, you do realize that I am on an archery kick.
Yeah. Aren't you on an archery sabbatical? You were on an archery kick like...
No, I'm still on the archery kick. Just because I haven't had any time and or money to go to the range doesn't mean I'm not on a kick.
You're still on an archery enthusiasm kick.
Yes.
Just not in practice.
Tell you what, I will get a bow, you get a crossbow, and we'll go to the archery range together.
We'll go to the archery range. I'll just shoot a bow and arrow. I don't really want a crossbow.
What? No, you can't say that you want a crossbow and then in the very same sentence.
I think I preface all this by explaining these are gifts that I know that I'm not going to get, and it's my way of telling people that I don't want them to actually spend money on me. I don't want them to actually buy me gifts. Because I know
bought you a gift. You're going to like it. You're going to like it a lot, actually.
I thought we weren't going to exchange gifts this year.
I never said that. Where's my fucking gift?
Oh, actually, we didn't say that. I said that to my family. look, I normally go all out, and I buy... I spend a lot of money on Christmas presents.
You do.
And
you do.
I get the Christmas spirit like, whoa. And I have a tree.
For someone who's as grinchy as you are all year round, Christmas is the one time of the year where you get all like in the spirit and the mood of things.
I love Christmas.
Yeah.
And I love spoiling the people in my life.
Yeah.
Just didn't get the spirit this year.
No.
We'll probably get to that later.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay tuned, podcast listeners.
Okay. Well, look, hey, there's still time.
Absolutely.
Till next week. Now that I know that we are exchanging gifts.
Well, fuck.
Hold on. I would have waited until the last minute anyway.
Well.
And I'm not actually going to see you on Christmas.
Yeah. To be fair, I actually don't want you to get me anything. So
No. That's not how it works.
I know, but I'm taking you off the hook and saying that I would like very much to do something nice for you.
I cannot accept a gift and not give a gift.
That's your problem, not mine.
Oh.
So you can either just graciously accept my gift in the spirit in which it's intended.
I can hide from you.
You wouldn't be able to hide for long.
Sure I can.
I know where you live.
Yeah. I don't have to answer the door.
Well, no, but I don't actually have to be anywhere. My days are filled with video games and Chef Boyardee.
God damn it.
Yeah.
How about we work this out after the show?
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. But folks, it has been a year. I mean, to put any kind of qualifier on it would do a serious injustice to the crazy shenanigans that have happened this year.
2013.
Yes.
The future.
Yes, the future that was. But instead, last year, we did a month-by-month recap of our time, and we're not going to do this year.
Yeah, nobody cared.
Nobody cared. So we're going to do something that we actually do care about, and we are going to do our own favorites of the year in various different categories and talk about them, debate them, agree with each other. Who knows? Maybe there'll be a fist fight on the air. Maybe there'll be a sort of cuddle session. Who knows?
Before we go into our top picks, let's talk about the two big things, our two big personal accomplishments.
Okay.
And I want to talk about those first because I want to preface all of this by saying that in my humble opinion, 2013 was the worst year in recent memory.
Yeah.
I had a lovely 2012.
Yeah.
When I went through and I was, you know, creating notes for everything that happened in 2013, this year was terrible.
You know,
for me,
yes, absolutely.
I hated this year.
I have to honestly say, as bad as 2013 was, as much crap that I personally had to deal with in 2013, still not the worst experience of my life.
Oh no,
no. I think 2009,
10.
Was it 10?
2009. I know what you're getting at. 2009 was a bad year for you, but you felt it all over 2010.
That's true. Yeah, 2010 is the worst year of my life.
Yeah.
And so, which is why, and we'll get into that later, but 2013 can go fuck itself.
Yeah. Good riddance. Good riddance, you miserable 365 days of shit. It wasn't all bad.
No, again, not at all.
There were, each of us had a major accomplishment.
Absolutely.
That happened for us.
You, sir, finally dropped your album Sick Passenger.
And I feel that that's actually kind of tied into why this year wasn't so good for me. Because in normal years, I will do things.
Okay.
Perhaps go to the theater. Take a picture.
Like be perhaps social?
Perhaps go to the beach in the summer. Go to my friend's barbecue.
Have a social life outside of work and or interests?
I spent most of 2013 in isolation in my apartment.
Yeah, you did.
Headphones on, hunched over my computer until 4 a.m. every night.
Yeah.
Just meticulously, obsessively laboring over my fifth record.
But as a result, you have released a piece of art an album music that is being lauded almost universally as being not only your best work to date, but like the best work people have heard in a long time.
Well, I appreciate all of the praise I've gotten from the internet and the praise that you are now echoing.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, releasing Sick Passenger, my fifth record, was the best thing that happened to me this year. And yeah. It was the single proudest accomplishment of this year. And,
absolutely.
I do have that to look back on in 2013 and say I'm damn proud of that. But I feel like I kind of sacrificed most of this year, specifically the summer. I didn't really have a summer.
No, because no, I didn't see you at all.
No.
And we had grand plans to do this whole summer movie thing, and right. That never happened.
No, barely even went to the theater.
No.
So that was the best thing about 2013.
Absolutely.
And for you, Mr. Lugo?
Nothing.
I think you're full of beans. I think this year you had an epiphany and decided you were going to create a show.
Yeah, I wrote a script. I wrote a good script, actually.
Not even just create a show, but to stop creating a show for other people.
Right.
And focus your efforts on creating a show for you.
I basically retired Epic Win Burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
I hesitate to use the word retired. It's more on an indefinite hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I get my druthers and I get enough convincing, I may do another one. You know, I told Nerdapalooza people that if they did another Nerdapalooza, I would do another Epic Win. And then that kind of went out the window because Nerdapalooza is no more.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Nerdapalooza.
But yeah, I stopped doing that thing that was very successful to do a thing that is questionably that I have no idea will be successful, basically.
But it's personal and it's heartfelt and it's true to yourself.
Yeah.
And it's you actually exploring your art versus spending your time facilitating the art of others.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That is a major accomplishment.
I got very sick and tired of creating opportunities for other people. And I'm now creating opportunities for myself.
Bravo.
Well, thank you.
You magical bastard.
But yeah, what a crazy fucking year this was.
I think it was crazy. I think it was just garbage.
Well, it was just
crazy would have been preferable.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm just using the word crazy in a different way. I just so much insane, weird, fucked up, sad, problematic shit happened in 2013.
Sure did.
You know, and outside of any sort of like recent, you know, personal stuff on you and my end of the spectrum, just a lot of really just dumb things happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you know what? Fresh year, new start.
Right.
We're off and running. But you know what?
You and I consume a lot of pop culture, and once upon a time, that is what this podcast was about. So why don't we talk about that?
I was just about to segue into that. You know,
I saw it. You dangled it, and I grabbed it.
A lot of the great things that happened this year were in consumable media.
Things that we love to spend our money on and veg out on.
Yeah, and if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, a lot of the stuff is going to come to no surprise to any of you.
No.
But we're gonna talk about the best comic books that we like this year, the best movies, the best TV shows, and on it goes.
Well, let's just do it instead of talking.
Yeah, let's do it. What's the first category?
I'm going to start with this category because I know you. You're not going to have much of an entry in it.
Right.
Actually, I don't have much of an entry in it either, but I would like to talk about best album of the year.
Best album
now,
of the year.
I feel I would like to, before I say what my favorite album of the year was,
yeah.
I want to shout out to a number of my rap colleagues
who
put out records this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all of I'm now realizing that
all of them did, didn't they?
Well, no, but I'm realizing that of all the ones that I'm about to mention, full disclosure, I'm on all of them. I'm not saying these are contenders for my favorite album of the year, though. I do love my friends and I love their work. But a number of my peers put out records this year, and I was honored and humbled to be a part of them.
Absolutely.
Among them, Kool Z released Hit Factory.
Oh, good album.
A combination of half hip hop and half like indie pop rock.
Yeah, yeah.
Dr. Awkward released Blank Pages.
Yep.
Which I made a cameo on the track. Now hiring.
Sure.
Oh,
I
and on the Kool
Z. I like that album.
On the
a
Kool
lot.
Z album, I was on a track called Glasses,
great.
Adam Warrock released his The Middle of Nowhere.
He released 8 albums this year, apparently.
He just released one since we started this episode. He released The Middle of Nowhere, and I appeared on that. And, of course, Kabuto the Python.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about his.
He put out an album called The Almighty, which is, I would say, unquestionably his best full release today. It's an amazing album.
Every time a bell rings, Adam Warrock makes an album.
Yo. Damn.
Kick him in the face.
You know, there was a minute back, like, many years ago in the old days of Nerdcore. And the Rhyme Torn Sports. There was a moment where there were, I don't know how many, probably 3 or 4 people that had a theory that I was actually Kabuto.
What?
Yeah. I was so flattered. I was like, I wish I were that good.
So what is your favorite album of the year?
My favorite album of the year is Jean Grey's Gotham Down.
Oh.
Jean Grey, an incredibly gifted rapper from Brooklyn, released 3 albums, 3 EPs in October. Gotham Down, volumes 1, 2, and 3. Then come December, she released all of them together as one album, and some of the songs have been tweaked a little bit, and there have been some interludes added to it, and you got to hear this whole thing as one big piece called Gotham Down Deluxe. It is a beautiful, gritty, often funny, often touching, just brilliant rap record, and god damn, she is good.
Wow.
It's an amazing record. Gotham Down Deluxe.
I know
Jean
nothing
Grey.
Of it. I'm going to go down.
That is my
right
favorite
now.
Record of the year.
Wow. I have no dog in this fight because I don't listen to whole albums. Like I very much piecemeal my music, you know, and I just download the things I like, and I don't, you know, because I'm not
well, you're not exposed to as much music now that you aren't playing Rock Band anymore.
Right, exactly.
That used to be how you got all of your new music.
But I know, you know, but of the albums, and I've heard a bunch of different albums, but mostly it's a lot from the people that I know, like all of the Nerdcore guys that you listed. Afterbirth Monkey just released their first album, you know.
Oh yeah, Afterbirth Monkey Powder Record. I'm also on that.
You're also on that. You know, but I gotta say, I'm going to try and say this without any irony or sarcasm whatsoever, but your album is my favorite album of the year.
And you're on that.
I'm on that,
your favorite album of the year.
I completely recognize how absolutely biased that may sound. But I want to say this right now. I have listened to every single album you've put out.
Mm-hmm.
There are tracks I really love, and then there are tracks where like, I don't like this as much, and then some tracks are like I don't listen to ever because I don't think they're very good. Sick Passenger, every fucking song is gold.
Thank you so
every
much.
Every single one. And I don't listen to your album, like I don't pick out like Innovation and just listen to that because I can't. I have to listen to it from beginning to end. And so for that alone, and this is also coming from like the new Steam Power Giraffe album just hit.
Oh, that's right.
Like this past week or something. And I fucking love that album. Mm. But even that feels a little not as a complete thing, as a complete experience as your album is. So.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. So that's
it's no Jean Grey's Gotham Down Deluxe.
No, but I'm gonna download that thing tonight when I get home.
Good.
Yeah. Everybody, go download Jean Grey's Deluxe.
Let's move on.
Yeah. What's the next category?
Gosh, we've got a few categories. We haven't really placed them in any kind of
order. Let's do the first one. Let's do best comic book of the year.
Wow.
So many to choose from.
Yeah. Last year.
So many to choose from.
It was last year that I got back into reading comic books very avidly again and specifically reading monthlies.
And this was the year I discovered Comixology.
Yes. Now you now you make me feel like an old man because you have an iPad and you're downloading it, which is a much more economical way for both space and money to consume comic books.
Well, yeah, but then also
I go to the comic book store every day and I come back with like 4 pounds and spend all this money.
Well, no, but the thing is I'm also like directly responsible for the death of the comic book shop too. So, you know.
You know what?
Six to one, half dozen the other.
Thank you. I'll take that.
You're supporting local businesses.
Yes.
I'm supporting the death of local businesses.
I'd just like to send a shout out to Ingrid and Sam from Midtown Comics. I know you're not listening to this, but you guys are awesome.
Aww.
Comic books. I read a bunch of comic books this year, and last year again, I got back into reading monthlies.
Sure.
And
sure.
And I was just reading a handful of books. I was mostly just reading various Batman titles from the New 52.
Yeah.
This year, it just kind of blew up, and I am reading so much stuff. It's hard for me to decide to select what my favorite comic of this year is.
Uh huh.
But I can tell you some of the runners up first before I tell you which one I've selected.
No,
because I know you're reading a lot of them.
I know.
Let's face facts, folks. Saga is a brilliant book.
Saga is so good.
It just keeps getting better. Love it.
So good.
The Walking Dead is still great.
I do not read The Walking Dead because I don't want to cry all the time.
Well, it's now basically become a war book because they're in the middle of this 12-issue series. We're just talking about all the same shit we talked about in the last few episodes. All Out War is going on in Walking Dead. Read it. Mm-hmm. What is this? The Batman and Robin books are great.
Yeah.
This year was The Death of Damian, and that trickled over into all the books. Batman Inc. was a shitty book, but that's where Damian died.
Yeah, that's where Damian died.
And, of course, all of the books had the sort of – you felt the fallout of Damian's death, but it wasn't felt better anywhere than in Batman and Robin.
Absolutely.
And that is still my favorite of the Batman books. I'm going to send a shout-out to Rachel Gluckstern over DC Comics, editor on Batman and Robin. Pretty Deadly launched. It's a new book from Image Comics.
And I want to thank you for – because you suggested this to me when was it? Like last week.
Yeah.
Because you were reading it. And the first issue was free on Comicology, and I read it, didn't understand it, but for some reason, there was something compelling about it. It was a completely new point of view on the Western genre, on the fantasy Western genre, and I liked it. Also, that it's written and drawn by two women.
Oh, also lettered and inked, all of
it.
But the entire creative team is women.
It's a very unique point of view and a very unique storytelling that I haven't seen in comics in a very long time.
It's a great book. I can't wait to watch it unfold. It's building slowly.
It is. It's a slow build.
It's still kind of confusing.
It is.
What's exactly
like,
going
I don't,
on.
I just read issue 3. I don't want to spoil anything.
Good, because I just bought it and I haven't read it.
Yeah, and so slowly things are starting to make sense. You're starting to know who people are, and you're starting to get a sense of what the relationships are.
Okay.
But it's fucking compelling. I want more of it. What else you got?
Oh my God, I love G.I. Joe Cobra Files. It's so good. Thanks to Word Burglar for recommending it. I don't read all those new G.I. Joe books, but G.I. Joe Cobra Files is dark and gritty and grounded and brilliant. And it's about to end. I guess it was only supposed to be like a 9-issue series or something.
Oh.
In fact, I think the last issue is on my table and I haven't read it yet.
Oh, there you go.
But it's so good. Swamp Thing. Scott Snyder's Swamp Thing has been really, really great.
Yeah.
Chew. We've talked about Chew. Chew is a great book.
Chew is so good.
I'm on the third trade of that. That's really great. My runner-up for my favorite book that I read this year, and I think only maybe the last trade of this was published this year. I don't actually know what the timeline is because I know the book started earlier.
Right.
But my runner-up for my favorite book of the year is Scott Snyder's American Vampire.
Yeah. And this is another book that you told me to pick up.
And how far are you in? Like one trade?
I'm for volume one in.
Okay.
And I was very, very hesitant because I am so done with vampire stories. Like vampires to me are what people sort of see zombies as.
Yeah.
I'm so sick and tired of vampires that I just don't care anymore. However, American Vampire... brand new, well, not maybe not brand new, but it's a completely wonderful take on this very tired old premise.
It brings something new to the mythology of vampires.
Yeah, it's telling a better, not maybe a different story than I'm used to, and it's fucking good. I'm really excited. I just purchased volume 2, and I'm really excited to dig into it.
It's great, and it only gets better. It just keeps building and building, and I love it. I find it.
I love the villain. I love how likable he is, and how much of a monster he is.
Skinner Sweet is one of the best written characters
I've seen
in a comic book in ages,
and compelling, and you kind of want to root for him, but at the same time,
but you don't, because he's a monster.
Monster,
literally.
Yes, literally, and he was already a monster before he became a vampire.
Yeah,
let's be fair.
He was a pretty shitty dude.
You know, the fact that he's a vampire just now gives him license to do whatever the fuck he wants with no consequences. Yeah,
that so would be my runner up for my favorite book that I read
what's,
this year.
Then what's your pick for
my
for
favorite book overall for this year is Lock and Key, written by Joe Hill.
Nice.
It's so wonderful. I'm not even going to talk about it. I've talked about it on so many episodes. The last issue of it just came out.
Yeah.
And I can't even crack it open because
I'm so happy that I begged you to read this.
Yeah,
book.
I am. I remember you bought you suggested I read it.
Yeah.
I got it. I read about 5 pages. Wasn't totally taken by it and put it down, not because I was going to give up on it, but then I got distracted reading other books.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I got strep throat this year. Yeah, I got strep throat in 2013. What? Because apparently I'm a teenager. That I sat down and picked it up again and said, oh, crap, there's a thing happening here that I need in me all the time. And Lock and Key is my favorite comic of the year.
I'm just going to mention quickly some stuff that I've been reading.
Okay.
Astro City. I am so happy that Astro City is back. They're doing some wonderful, the storyline that they're doing right now is wonderful, and I can't wait for it to resolve. Obviously Batman and Robin, those are the two titles I read religiously. We already mentioned Chew, Detective Comics I'm reading voraciously. East of West.
I'm going to have to get into that. You've been talking about this all year.
Yeah, this is a title that Tony Baldini of Nerdy Show suggested to me.
What up, Tony Baldini?
And I am so very grateful he brought this up to me because East of West is fantastic. And this is the year of like the sci-fi Western.
Right.
You know, Saga, pretty deadly.
Fantasy Western.
Well, yeah, fantasy Western. I'm really, really liking it. The Flash has been my surprise breakout for me this year because The Flash has never really been in a top 10, although I love The Flash.
You've always been a Flash fan.
Always. But what they're doing with The Flash comic book is really good. Hawkeye from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
Really good, I have to say. What else? Morning Glories. A weird, weird title about high school kids with powers or maybe not powers in a school that they can't ever leave from. So good. It's like teenage drama mixed with like Lost and Twin Peaks at the same time. It's really good. And Sex Criminals.
Oh yeah. Talked about that last episode.
Love Sex Criminals. But I have to say my pick for the year is Saga. That's my best comic for the year. It doesn't dumb anything down. It doesn't explain itself. It presents the world as it is, and you're expected to just catch up. And yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that the comic book does not talk down to me. One of the problems I have with Marvel and DC is that in the very first page, they have to explain you the origin.
Yeah.
And they have to like catch everybody up. And it's like, no, Saga's like, this is the story. You're either on board or you're not, you know, and because it doesn't explain itself, because it's unapologetically just there, then you can jump in at any time because you are just as confused and interested as everybody else is. And I just love it. I love it so much.
I love it too. I just got issue 17.
Yeah. So did I.
Haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it yet either. I'm actually a little afraid given where the storyline is right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was comic books. Any really bad comic books you read that you just like, you kind of want to stay the fuck away from?
Look,
or?
DC Comics, you should be embarrassed of yourselves. And now, look, there's a lot of great stuff in the New 52. I'm not going to pile on them, but that.
Right.
But they launched this Harley Quinn series. And I know that it already was kind of steeped in controversy.
Sure.
Because the illustration contest that they posted online, draw a picture of Harley Quinn and get in our book and here are some suggestions, and one of them was like her naked committing suicide in a bathtub in a toaster. All right, that was all problematic enough. The issue came out, issue one has just come out, but they did a zero issue first.
Sure.
Which, first of all, fuck you. And they tried to do this Deadpool-ish kind of thing where, like, you know, she's kind of like talking to the audience. Breaking the fourth wall, or the writers are. They're actually the caption boxes are the two writers who are a couple talking to each other about what they're going to do with Harley Quinn in a new book. And then they brought in like 20 artists, and every artist gets their own page. So you've got like the guy from Walking Dead, and you've got the guy who does American Vampire. You've got like a bunch of like great talents on there. So like everything about this should work. Harley Quinn, getting her own book. Ooh, maybe that'll be interesting. And oh, they're kind of like going to address the audience. Oh, yeah. that's kind of different. That's at least something new. And all of these great artists piling in to do this first issue, and it's fucking garbage. I've never been so insulted by something that I've read. I went back to the comic book store when issue one came out and was like, well, maybe this is just the first one, and flipped through
it.
I didn't like the art, read some dialogue, and like pooped my pants and called it a day.
Wow.
It's terrible. It's so terrible, which is unfortunate because when DC did their like Villains Month this year, they did one-offs of all of the big DC villains. And so they're all of the Batman books, or multiple ones, like all the Batman baddies got their own one-offs. And the Harley Quinn issue of that, for one, had the worst illustrated cover of all of them. It was just terrible. It's just like boobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember.
But the story, it was the best – one of the best written Harley Quinn stories I've ever read. And the artist who actually did the book and not the cover did really amazing work too.
Oh, wonderful.
I loved that one off. And that's when I got the zero issue of the Harley Quinn series. I thought that I was going to get more of that, and I got crap.
Mm.
So sorry, DC, I'm not going to read your damn Harley Quinn books anymore. I don't care.
I read an atrocious piece of crap from Image Comics called Hoax Hunters.
Okay.
And I forget who turned this. Someone mentioned it to me as something that I might be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And on the surface, it does appeal to me on paper. Like, it's basically an investigative team that goes out to investigate things like Bigfoot and or aliens and things like that. And they're called Hoax Hunters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm kind of interested in that. Horrible. Fucking horrible. I don't even know who wrote it or art or drew it, because after I read the first two issues, I just didn't give a shit.
Yikes.
Sorry. You do some amazing, amazing work. You struck out with Hoax Hunters with me.
I'm sure their audience will tell them in sales.
Awesome. I think that's done for comic books. What's the other category?
Let's talk about video games.
Video games.
My honorable mentions in video games this year. I didn't play a lot of video games this year because I, again, was spending most of my time working on my record. But I did play a few games, and I enjoyed all of the games the four games that I played this year, I enjoyed all of them. Assassin's Creed 3.
Yes.
A new assassin, Connor, set during the American Revolution. Thought it was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, feels like all the Assassin's Creed games, but still.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. I love scampering about on rooftops. Or as Yahtzee from Zero Punctuation says, faffing about.
right.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. I like that. It was a Metal Gear Solid game without Old Snake.
Oh, dear.
With Raiden, the robot ninja, as the lead. So it really shouldn't have worked. And in a way, it kind of didn't. It was a pretty short game with just kind of a string of boss fights. I don't care. I still liked it. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
The combat mechanic was fun. And that world of those ridiculous biomechanical weapons. I'm sure there was a story in there, but like every Metal Gear game I've ever played, I didn't know what it was 30 minutes into it. They're all talking. They're trying to feed you the story with these like 20-minute long cutscenes. I have no idea what was going on in the story. I just know it was fun to slice open robot cows with my sword.
Robot cows?
You'll have to play the games to understand.
Fair enough.
So I like that. My runner-up is a surprise to me because I just assumed when I knew of its impending release would be my game of the year, Batman Arkham Origins.
Oh.
Because Batman Arkham City and Batman Arkham Asylum, two of my most favorite video games ever.
Right.
Batman Arkham Origins is wonderful. It's a lot of fun. I know I've already said last episode, DLC. There's, you know, once you finish the main campaign, there's still tons of side campaigns and tons of extra stuff to do.
Right.
And it just never stops being fun, like gliding about and grappling around Gotham City and beating the crap out of goons and collecting like upgrades to your weapons. It's a great game, and I really liked it a lot.
Oh, good.
But just because there wasn't anything particularly fresh about it, I couldn't say that it was my favorite game of the year.
Fair enough. So what is your favorite game of the year?
The Last of Us.
Nice.
From
Telltale Games.
No, Naughty Dog. The folks who brought us the Uncharted series.
Yes.
Post-apocalyptic landscape. It's still kind of a zombie game. You're going through like dilapidated buildings and collecting supplies and fighting monsters who were once people who are now infected with the thing. But it felt there was an urgency in moving through the world.
Right.
The art design is gorgeous. The voice acting was great. The writing was great. And there's a real compelling relationship between the two main characters, grizzled old fella named Joel, who lost his child,
right.
and this young girl that he's been placed in charge of, named Ellie. The Last of Us was my favorite game of the year.
Wowzers. All right. I didn't play a lot of games this year either, due to a whole lot of things. But the games I did play, I actually had a lot of fun with. What are we looking at here? The Cave, which I think, I don't know if that was an Xbox exclusive or not. Same studio. Oh, God, I can't remember the studio. The internet's yelling at me right now. I can't remember the studio off the top of my head. Tomb Raider. I had a lot of fun with Tomb Raider.
Oh, you played Tomb Raider.
I did. I liked it. I liked it a lot. Granted, I never played any of the PC Tomb Raider games. I never played any of the original Tomb Raider games. So I don't have this kind of stake in the ground nostalgia as a lot of people did, but I really liked it. I thought it was a really cool story, and I thought she was a very compelling heroine. Realistically, probably a little too realistic. She gets fucked up in that game. She gets beaten to pulp in that game.
Yikes.
What else? Bioshock Infinite, which came out this year. And I just played the first chapter of Burial at Sea, which is their...
DLC?
Yes, their DLC. Had a lot of fun.
Oh.
I don't like first-person shooters because I tend to get a little nauseous. I tend to get a little motion sickness from them. So I don't like playing them. Also, I like seeing my character for some reason. I don't feel immersed when I'm in a first person's perspective. I feel very, in fact, quite the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm very aware that I am not this person. However, that game is really good. It has a lot of social commentary, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
Yeah, because you had a lot to say about it just last month.
Yes, but the Burial at Sea, it's nice to go back to Rapture.
Oh yeah,
it really is. It's really nice to go back to Rapture. What else? Looking at my list here, man, I played a whole lot of no games. A Wolf Among Us.
Ah, from Telltale.
Yeah, I don't think...
Based on the comic book series Fables.
Yeah, I don't think it's a... I think it's a middling game. I don't think it's particularly great, but it's not bad either.
All right.
It's fun. I'm waiting for the second episode to really kind of... I'm trying to reserve judgment here. It wasn't everything I wanted it to be, but maybe I'm bringing some bias to it that's probably not fair to the game. But I have to say, my game of the year... By the pure and simple fact that I'm still playing the shit out of it, Diablo 3.
Yeah, you have been playing that.
I have been playing that game nonstop. I don't know why.
Just grind and grind.
It is addictive as fuck. I never understood the appeal. I get it now. I get it. I want that fancy new hat for my mage. I want that pretty new plus one vest for my barbarian. I want it. I want it. I don't know if the game is good or bad, but I can't stop playing it. So
that means it's good.
Well, yes. At least on my criteria of entertainment, it checks all the boxes.
And that means it's good. God, I'm so tired of people that are like, well, what did you think of this movie? Well, I mean, I enjoyed it. It wasn't a great movie, but I enjoyed it. That movie had one job, and clearly you just confirmed that it did it.
Yes.
Look, you're not, you don't have to.
Well,
you don't have to become like a college film professor and like deconstruct it and talk about how it's like cotton candy and has no real nutritional value. Yeah. If this game was made to entertain you.
Yes.
And you have already invested like 200 hours into it this year alone.
Yes.
That means you like it.
Oh, yeah.
That means it's good in your opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right, absolutely. There you go. Abso-fucking-lutely.
God. You know, in 2012, we did a thing in the summer where we went to the movies together almost every weekend.
Almost every weekend, yeah.
Yeah, we made a plan. that summer. We're like, we're going to see all of the movies.
Yeah,
we're
going to go. Except for like maybe one or two. I think we saw pretty much everything that year.
We went to see so many movies in 2012. Yeah. It was a great summer. Like, I hadn't seen that many movies in the theater in one summer in ages.
Yeah.
This year, we did not do that.
Not so much.
I spent all year alone in isolation in my apartment working on my rap record and never
I kind of did the same thing.
Right.
Except I wasn't working on a record.
So I saw some movies. I saw a couple movies in the theater, but most of the movies that are on this list from the year, I've seen on Blu-ray or on demand since.
They've come out. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Some of the movies, two movies that we did see together in the theater. I think we only saw two movies together in the theater all summer.
What's that?
We saw Iron Man 3 and Star Trek Into Darkness.
Yeah.
I liked both of them.
I liked both of them too.
I'm not going to sing their praises to the heavens. I'm not going to masturbate to them. I liked both of them. I was very happy with both of them as sequels, as films, and it was a very great experience. But,
absolutely.
What else did I see? Man of Steel, of course. Yeah. I watched that with you on my birthday. I thought that was great.
That was great too.
Monsters University.
I did not see that.
It's great.
Good.
Pixar. They really, it's hard for them to make a bad movie.
Yes, it is.
My runner up. This is a hard one here. My runner up for the movie that my favorite movie of the year is Pacific Rim. It had everything that I loved, which is giant monsters and destruction porn. I love cities being destroyed by shit.
Yeah.
And I love this whole ensemble cast of characters representing humanity's fight against the giant monsters, and the production values were great, and the art design was great, and the conflict and the rooting for the heroes.
The pathos.
It was great. I liked that movie a lot.
Good. I think all the movies you mentioned I saw and loved. I want to add Thor, the new Thor film, which is The Dark World, which I liked a lot.
I liked it too.
World's End.
I haven't seen it yet.
Which is really good. I like that a lot too.
Oh, which reminds me, I also saw This Is the End.
Oh, I did not see
that. By the time I got to the third act, I was so exhausted with all of these assholes that I didn't really care anymore.
Yeah.
The movie is, it's worth it for the Michael Cera bits, but that's only like 30 minutes of the movie.
Right. There were a couple of movies that I really want, they still need to see, like The Lone Ranger and Gravity. I still need to watch those. But this is the first time that you and I are going to agree on something. Pacific Rim, my favorite film of the year.
That wasn't my favorite. That was my runner-up.
Oh, wait. So what is your favorite film of the year?
My favorite film of the year was Gravity. And look, I saw Gravity in the theater and in 3D even, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I walked away being like, yeah, no, I was very satisfied.
Wait, you saw it in 3D?
Yeah.
I thought you hate 3D.
I do.
Oh, wow. All right.
It was just convenience of showtime.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm glad I did. I really liked it, the 3D.
I would think that would be a film that would lend itself to subtle 3D.
I liked it in the theater. I wasn't hog wild about it, but it stuck with me and kind of haunted me for a while, and I kind of kept thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I felt it was kind of fitting that it would be my favorite movie because it's just basically one character isolated dealing with crushing anxiety.
Oh, dear.
And that felt like my year. And so I really found myself rooting for Sandra Bullock's character. Again, pretty much, aside from, a small amount with George Clooney, the only actor on screen for the whole film.
Yeah.
But she did a great job. And I just, there's something about that experience, that isolation and that anxiety and dread. And then I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it's, I felt I connected to it and more after the fact than I even realized in the theater. Right. I loved Gravity.
Awesome. I loved Pacific Rim. That movie was made with me in mind. Giant robots, giant monsters, over the top action, super serious dialogue that's delivered with no irony or sarcasm whatsoever, which made it even better. It was great and hilarious and fun and stupid and yes, I cried. Bravo, Mr. Del Toro, Guillermo del Toro. I had a wonderful time at that film.
You want to try his name again?
Guillermo del Toro?
B plus.
Thank you. But that's movies. That's movies for 2013. Wow, we're ripping through these pretty quickly.
Yep, good.
Awesome. What's next?
Television series.
Television. Awesome.
My honorable mention is Wilfred. I continue to love that series. And I thought it was going to be done. I thought I'd heard rumors that it was finished after that last season. This is, of course, the American version of the Australian series.
Yes.
With Elijah Wood. Because the last season ended really weird and could have been a suitable ending place for that story.
Sure.
But they did. There was a new season of it. And God damn, it just keeps getting weirder and weirder and weirder. And they're really kind of going hog wild with the weirdness this last season. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed this most recent season of Wilfred. My runner-up for my favorite TV series of the year.
Sure.
American Horror Story Coven. It's not even done yet. I didn't watch the first two seasons of American Horror Story, so I don't know what they're all about.
Yeah.
You know, each season's its own self-contained story.
Right.
They use a lot of the same actors playing different characters in the next story that they tell.
Right.
This one is about a coven of witches, hence coven.
Oh, okay. So that's where it comes from. Sure.
But then you've got like Angela Bassett and Kathy Bates and Jessica Lange, and it's awesome. I'm excited to see how it ends. But so far, I'm really enjoying it.
Good.
I'll make that my runner-up. Favorite TV series of the year? Still The Walking Dead.
Still The Walking Dead?
Yeah. They're
they're
in the middle right now in the break between their
mid-season break.
Yeah, they're in the mid-season break.
Yeah.
I feel this first half of this season really mirrored a lot of events from the comic books. They take events from the comic books and they recreate some of them faithfully, and some of them they give them their own new slant. They've definitely done much more work with the governor than the comic books did. The comic books, he was just a really one-dimensional bad guy, twisting his mustache, tying damsels to the railroad tracks. The governor in the television series is much more complex and much more interesting and fascinating of a character.
Sure.
This first half of the season was very true to the books. They covered the return of the governor and the fall of the prison, and it ended almost virtually the same way that one of the trades where that part of the story ends. Like there's a shot with Rick and Carl and they're on the hill and you see the prison in the distance and the yard is full of walkers.
It was composed almost
exactly like it's like the final like splash page from the books. I still love that show. I still love it. I know it's obviously a lot of people do because it's apparently like the most successful show on television right now.
Right.
But my Facebook feed is just full of people like crying about it. This show sucks. All I read is like everybody likes this and so I don't. And there are people I still read passing around memes on Facebook about how Lori's a terrible character and how Lori's awful and like bashing on Lori. Lori's not been on the television show for a year now. Her character's been dead and people are still hating on her. And if you're still hating on her, guess what? You're a misogynist.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no reason to hang on to the hate for a character. Also,
she's gone.
She didn't do anything on the show to make her hateful.
Yeah. Like,
she generally had pretty good ideas and was out for protecting her family.
Now, it's entirely possible that you are critiquing her acting style and are not a fan of her particular choices as an artist.
Oh, no. I think a bunch of dudes were hating on her because her character slept with somebody else. Ended up in a love triangle because she slept with somebody else while Rick was in a coma.
Yeah, and that's misogyny.
They couldn't forgive that.
That's misogyny.
Well, I don't know. I haven't actually heard anybody say that, but that's just what I read. That's what I hear every time I read somebody complaining about.
Dicks.
Yeah.
What a bunch of dicks.
Walking Dead, my favorite TV show of the year. Still.
I have a lot of different stuff on here. I don't even know where to begin. Arrow. Mm-hmm. Arrow's second season blew me away. The first season's a little hinky in that.
Hinky?
Yeah. I mean, there's some of it I like and some of it's like, okay, I'll let you get away with it. Second season, I don't know. They're probably reading Tumblr and all of the stuff that was said about Arrow. And it's like a checklist of all the things the fans want. It's like, you know, he no longer kills. And, you know, he's got a team. And he's got, it's like, oh, okay. All right, Arrow. You're doing some new stuff. Good for you. I love the new season of Arrow.
All right.
I'm still watching Castle. Castle's taken a different direction this season than in previous seasons because the two lead characters are now in a relationship, and they're sort of like, you know, they're getting married now, and so there's no longer that sexual tension, and so, but it's still compelling. It's like most shows, once the sexual tension has been released, they tend to sort of dwindle.
Yeah,
this one is actually still keeping pretty strong in my book.
Huh.
The stories are still wonderfully interesting and compelling, and the mysteries are still cool, and Castle's point of view on all of them is still funny and hilarious. What else? Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm.
Love that show. Love it. If you have not seen Orange is the New Black, please, it's on Netflix. The entire season is there. Watch the first episode.
I feel like I'm the last person who hasn't seen it.
If you do not like the first episode, then don't even bother. The first episode hooked me from the second I saw it, and then I spent the next 6 hours watching Orange is the New Black. I'm still not done with it. I still have a few more episodes to complete, but it's really good television. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
Love that show.
Hmm.
I don't care. If you're a hater and you think Marvel Agents S.H.I.E.L.D. is an awful television show, fine. You're entitled to your opinion. Just know that from the bottom of my heart that I think you hate fun.
Oh.
And I don't think you're capable of joy in your life.
Wow.
Because that show is fun.
Fight more.
It's funny. It's ridiculous. It's comic book. It's everything I kind of want from a comic book TV show. Geez, what else? Almost Human. The new series, Almost Human. Great show.
That's what you've told me.
It is a fantastic, fantastic show. It's a futuristic buddy cop television show. With some really interesting social commentary in it, as well as some kind of ridiculous futuristic crimes they have to solve. And that's a whole lot of fun. I can go on and on, but I think my winner for this year and every year, Doctor Who. Doctor Who is so good this year. So good! With the new companion and... weirder stories and the 50th anniversary special hit, and I am so in love with Doctor Who. But I've always been in love with Doctor Who ever since Tom Baker was the Doctor. I've been in love with Doctor Who, and I am just pleased as punch that they're gonna finish out the season, and there's a new Doctor on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't be happier. I think Doctor Who is doing some fantastic stuff. I'm really excited for Sherlock to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Sherlock's coming out really soon. I'm kind of jonesing for that, so I'm really excited for that. But yeah, Doctor Who wins my best TV award.
Maybe one of these days I'll watch an episode of it. I'll find out what all the buzz is about.
One day.
So those were the things that we liked this year. Of course, the things that we liked this year were either things we created or the things that we spent our money on.
Right.
As far as.
Well, no. I mean, I did spend money on shit I did not like.
There's a whole
lot of stuff I'm not mentioning here only because I don't think they deserve any airtime.
But I feel like listing the things that we enjoyed doesn't really underscore why we thought 2013 was such a bad year.
Yeah, this year was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was a bad year.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, in January, right after the new year, I got my heart broken.
Oh.
I got it pretty well smashed and broken. There was a woman whom I was seeing and fell very much in love with. And was already planning my life to include her in it, which would involve me sort of rearranging my life in a very profound way. And I was more than willing to do it because I was emotionally invested.
Yeah.
And I believed in it. And I felt she just kind of changed her mind, basically. At one point, all of those feelings were reciprocated, and then they weren't. And she's allowed to change her mind. Sure. You know, I'm not bitter about it. I was just very, very heartbroken about it, and was quite inconsolable for a little while.
Oh.
Yeah, and that seemed to be a running theme in that first part of the year where I would meet a woman and then she would take interest in me and then we would date for, or rather go out on a date or two or three, and then she would change her mind, which is fine. People are allowed to change their mind, but it kept happening a lot to me, and it's hard not to take that personally after a while.
Sure.
And, you know, and so I just kept feeling more and more beat down as a result of it. Uh-huh. Yeah. So that was the beginning of my year.
Well, in February, if I can relate to that a little
please.
Bit. Please. Look, I was married once, you guys.
I think we know.
We were separated. We separated in 2009.
Right.
But various reasons and dragging our feet and whatnot, it took us a very long time to get divorced.
Yeah.
And we did finally get divorced. Our divorce wasn't finalized until this year. Mm-hmm. And I, after also our second time filing for divorce, because our first time expired before we right. done it correctly.
Because she dropped the ball.
So my divorce was finalized this year, and I received the official notification of my divorce being complete
right.
in the mail
yeah.
on Valentine's Day.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And my ex-wife and I are wonderful friends.
Yeah.
We are great friends. We've built a wonderful friendship out of the ashes of our marriage. But it doesn't.
You have. You actually have. And I have to applaud you, because I think you're better friends now than you ever have been.
Go back through our archives and listen yeah. to the episode.
Yeah.
The Island of Dr. Eviler. You'll hear all about it. But it still hurts when
oh,
you
absolutely.
Get notification that, like, yes, you are officially no longer married, and you get it on Valentine's Day. Well, and then yeah. you spend that day alone.
Yeah.
It was a drag. It was a drag early on in the year.
Yeah, I remember the text you sent me, because I was also alone on Valentine's Day. And you sent me the text, you know, got divorce papers today.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, buddy, I'm so sorry. Let's see. What else happened to me? I was kicked out of my apartment.
Oh, right. You got evicted.
No, I mean... Well, yes. I mean, the thing
is... Actually, you got evicted from a different apartment last year.
That was, yeah.
You got kicked out in a shadier way this time.
Yeah, this time, the eviction was a stupid process that I absolutely deserved. This time, I was in a shitty apartment arrangement with no lease whatsoever. And she was looking for any reason to get rid of me. And because I didn't have a lease, she didn't have a leg to stand on. And waited for the most inopportune time to stage this sort of apartment coup, and essentially got me out of that apartment in the shadiest way possible. Ugh. Basically. So and then I had to look for a new apartment, which I'm in now, and I'm very happy.
Well, that's good. That's yeah. good. It turned around for you.
Yeah.
I got arrested this year.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
And that's the first time you've been arrested.
That's the first time. I can't believe I made it this long without getting arrested.
Yeah, you made it pretty long. I mean, yeah. given your lifestyle, I would have been... I was actually a little surprised to hear that you've never been arrested before.
I've been so close so many times, and my luck ran out.
Well, yeah, there's only so many times you can tempt that demon.
Yeah, I was... you want to know? I tried to chalk it up to Shakespeare. I was in a Shakespeare-themed burlesque show.
Yeah.
And I was doing the "Is this a dagger?" monologue from Macbeth.
Sure.
And after I finished it and I went backstage and I was talking to the castmates, I said, "Oh, that's great. There's one more thing I can check off my bucket list. I have now performed a scene from Macbeth in an off Broadway theater."
Sure.
And of course, all the other actor nerds around me all went, "Gasp!" Because, you know, it's supposedly a curse. It's a bad luck to say Macbeth. In a theater.
I can't roll
unless
my
you're
eyes
saying it on stage
enough.
In the play.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say the Scottish play because it's a curse. And I was like, screw you, nerds.
Yeah. I would have said the same thing.
After the show, a number of us were going to this Irish pub across the street where we always go to hang out and congratulate ourselves on being geniuses of performance after all of our shows. This is the Tank Theater. We've done a million Epic Win shows. We've plugged on
yeah.
this show.
Yeah.
On the way across the street. Across the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I didn't have to go far. It was...
No. Yeah.
And from this theater that's, you know, a block off of Times Square, I was arrested for smoking weed by two plainclothes police officers who was prowling the area in a spot where I have probably smoked weed after a show. Well,
Every time we've ever done a show there. Every time.
And this time, well, it caught up with me. And I was actually kind of taken aback by the fact that, oh, my goodness, police arrest people for this? Wow. Yes, I was arrested and cuffed and taken to jail. And a couple months later, when I finally went to court, all of the charges were dropped. Everything was thrown out. It became a big hassle, and I had to spend a bunch of money on a lawyer to go to court and blah, blah, blah. And it was kind of embarrassing more than anything. But I did go to jail, and it fucking sucked. It sucked so much.
Technically, you were in holding. You weren't in jail.
No, technically, I was in jail. I wasn't in prison.
Well, holding is a little different.
There were bars.
Well, yeah.
I was in there with some shady fuckers.
Yeah.
It sucked.
It's a holding cell. I got a mugshot. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I totally want to see that.
It's fingerprinted.
I totally want to see your mugshot now.
I wish I do too. I'm wearing my back burner t-shirt in my mugshot. And I want to have it so I can send it to the back burner guys.
Oh, I wonder if that's a matter of a public record.
Looked so many times online to see if I could track it down.
Fuck.
It doesn't happen.
All right.
Anyway, don't smoke weed in Times Square, kids.
Don't do it. Not on Times Square. I guess that saves the big one for me.
Ooh. Why was 2013 bad for you, Lugo?
I got cancer.
Oh, my. You got cancer.
I got ball cancer.
You got cancer of the balls.
Ball cancer of the balls. Yes. Yikes. I had a seminoma, and I still have it surgically and planted into my body. I still have a portacath, which is a little port that they push a needle through and pushes a medicine through my heart rather than my vein.
A medicine's mostly poison.
Yes, yes. And I know it's poison because in order to get this medicine, I was administered an antidote. Not my word. That's what the nurses called it.
Wow.
An antidote.
Antidote. All right.
I got cancer. Although now it's like... That seems like a lifetime ago to me now. And it just seems like, that was an unpleasant 4 months of my life.
I mean, I think making it especially unpleasant is that you had to celebrate a milestone birthday in the cancer ward getting chemo.
Yeah, I spent a milestone. I spent my 40th birthday in a cancer ward. And here's the thing. I hate my birthday. I don't like celebrating it. I don't like doing anything specifically special. If people want to get me stuff, that's great, but I don't really ask for anything. But this was the year I was finally going to let my kind of birthday grinchiness go and like throw a big party and have it be a big hoo-to-do and, you know, invite like everybody. It's like, hey, if you marginally know me on the internet, come on down and celebrate with me. I was going to do it big this year.
Yeah.
And then I got fucking cancer.
Well, there was the benefit show for you. That was kind of a party for you. I mean, a lot of people came out to see you. It was before your birthday.
Yeah, and I will always be grateful.
But that was kind of a party, except it just wasn't. There wasn't cake.
and also you had cancer. I will always be infinitely grateful to that benefit party.
It gave me an excuse to finally put together a Robin costume so I could visit you in the hospital.
Dude, that was awesome.
You've seen pictures of me on the internet in a Robin costume? I only have that. I assembled that specifically to visit Lugo on his 40th birthday.
Like a bunch of people showed up and were distracting me so that you can get dressed in the hallway.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of came in and you were Damian Wayne
and
you gave me a Bane mask.
I gave you a Bane mask and I gave you Batman pornography.
Yes, you did. Cancer Bane will go down in infamy as the most hilarious and saddest joke that we came up with.
I'm going to go with Cancer Bane for hashtag of the year. The Cancer Bane posts were my favorite.
I love fucking Cancer Bane posts. I'm so glad I can laugh about it now, but yeah, I was not having a good time.
You had
then.
Cancer in your balls.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, that's why it fucking sucked for me.
All right. 2013 was terrible for me because my mother died. It happened. It was kind of drawn out for a little while, but it did also kind of happen suddenly.
It did seem very quick from the moment that you told me.
Yeah.
That she got a stroke to when she passed.
She was hospital. Well, it wasn't a stroke. It was misdiagnosed as a stroke at first. She had an aneurysm.
Ah.
And she was hospitalized, life flighted, in fact, to a specialist hospital. You know, my mom lived in a small rural community in southwestern Iowa. Mm-hmm. So she was hospitalized with this brain aneurysm. And they had surgery. They performed surgery. Surgery was a success. She recovered well from the surgery, and everything seemed to be okay at first. But once she was released from the hospital and then taken to a rehab facility, her health just kind of declined. Her recovery became less and less. Her speech was affected. Her motor skills, she wasn't able to walk without a walker or without assistance from one of the nurses. And her ability to communicate and to focus was just kind of gone.
Yeah.
And it kept getting worse and worse. And by the time we got around Thanksgiving, my older brother was, you know, he'd been kind of pleading with me, you know, come out and see her. And this whole time I had been putting off going out to visit her because all I'd been hearing is that she's recovering well. And I'm like, oh, well, this is great. Maybe I'll see her at Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, she'll be out. She'll be back home.
Right.
The surgery was a success, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be back. But it started getting worse and worse. And he started kind of pleading with me, and it started feeling kind of desperate. So I made kind of an emergency trip home over Thanksgiving to spend the week. And it was really hard. She wasn't incredibly responsive or seemingly very aware. The first day, the rest of the week, she got better, and she recognized me. We were able to talk somewhat, but it was such a challenge to see my mother in that kind of environment and also just not really be completely herself. Near the end of that week, she got very ill, kind of a stomach illness,
and she was moved back to the hospital.
She was moved back to the hospital and driven back, you know, 80 miles back to this hospital because she'd been very sick. And they discovered that she'd had this very serious blood clot that they hadn't been aware of before. Given her fragile health from all of the brain surgery stuff and the recovery, they didn't give her a very good prognosis for either surviving or recovering from the multiple surgeries it would have taken.
Sure.
And also it would have meant an even more compromised quality of life following it.
Right.
My brother and I knew what she would have wanted, especially I was always, my brother's 10 years older. He was close with my mom, but I was really close. I've been self-identified as a mama's boy pretty much my whole life. You know, my mom was most important person in my life, and I was very close. And I had heard countless times throughout the years her say things to the extent of, if I'm ever in a position where if they require machines to keep me alive, I don't want to live like that.
Yeah.
So my brother and I had to make a very difficult decision.
Sure.
And so, you know, she had had this, she'd been hospitalized with this aneurysm in late September, and she died on December 5th. So it was sudden. We weren't expecting that.
The decline was pretty steady.
Yeah. We didn't think that was going to be the thing. we just kind of kept thinking, we just kind of kept having hope that she was going to somehow recover.
And we didn't
anticipate any of this other stuff, and I actually just went back again for the funeral, and that was the worst. This has been the most emotionally trying, traumatic, tragic experience that I have ever endured, and it's still really new to me. So I kind of like toggle in and out of it, and I'm going to be dealing with this grief for a very long time. But it definitely colored this year for me.
Yeah.
Even though it was only happened in the end of the year, it's still it's hard to kind of remember what else happened.
Oh no, absolutely. And I remember like right around that same time, it just seemed like a lot of people who were very dear and very close to me were also losing their friends and family.
Yeah.
And it just, I was overwhelmed just from the information, because I didn't lose anybody personally, but, you know, I knew your mom.
Yeah.
And loved her. And we spoke sporadically, but, you know, very kindly to one another.
Yeah.
And then I hear,
she always thought very highly of you too.
I know. And she was very kind to me during my cancer and said some really wonderful things.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we messaged each other back and forth, and we spoke about you mostly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I will miss her tremendously, you know, and kind of regret that I never got to know her better. And at the same time, a lot of people that were close to me were losing people that they loved. And so, yeah, this whole, like,
the end of the year, yeah.
Thanksgiving, first week of December, just seemed like...
it was just relentless.
All this sorrow was just kind of dropping all over the place. In fact, because of what you were going through, I'm kind of dealing with stuff with my mom now, actually. My mom was cremated, mm-hmm. and some of her ashes were scattered and handed out as mementos. My sister has the bulk of my mother's ashes, whatever's remaining. And it's in a plastic bag inside of a U.S. postal mailer box. And it's been in the back of her closet since she got it, because she's afraid of it. And I haven't dealt with it. And because of what's going on and because of what's going on with you, I've kind of decided it's time to do something about that. And so I purchased an urn.
Oh.
And that's going to be my Christmas gift to my mom, basically.
That's really touching.
Yeah. And kind of put her remains. I personally don't understand keeping those things. I think it should be scattered and or given away. But my sister wants to hold on to them. So I figure let's give her a more fitting place to rest than inside a U.S. postal mailing
hidden
box.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm sure I speak for everyone who's ever known you or would like to know you, and that I'm very, very sorry for your loss.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you. Everybody has been really, I've been really moved by how much, support and love and the condolences that I've received from the internet, from my friends, my family and fans and total strangers. You've all been really wonderful and thanks. It's really helped. It still sucks more than anything I can possibly describe.
Absolutely.
But I take comfort in that it's a little bit better by all of your support. So thank you so much.
Yeah. And yeah, it's weird. It's weird how when tragedy strikes, you know, the kindness in people just kind of pours out.
Yeah.
And you get it. I mean, it happened with my cancer.
I remember.
I was overwhelmed by the sheer amount of goodwill coming my way. And that was just me getting sick. I can't, you know.
Yeah, I was getting text messages from people that don't like me. That's humbling.
Yeah, that happened to me too. I was getting tons of goodwill from people who actively do not like me when I got cancer.
Yeah.
So it restored my faith in the human condition.
That everybody realizes when it's time to put petty shit on hold.
Yeah.
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 So.
But internet listener, we are not going to end this podcast that.
I'm not. Yes.
You know,
there's got to be something better.
There is.
2014 has to be better because it can't possibly be worse.
Well, no, don't ever say that, because the moment you say it can't possibly get any worse is when it gets worse.
Oh, well, no, I can't say that. I don't believe in bullshit like Jesus.
Oh, good. Good. I think life is what it is, and life is filled with sorrow and joy in equal amounts.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to 2014.
I am too. I'm just done with this year.
Well, you know, look, you're going to be dealing with a lot of, you're going to be dealing with a lot of things.
Oh, for a very long time.
For quite some time.
And you are too. I mean, you're going to be in and out of hospitals for a while, like getting checkups for.
Well, yeah, but
you still have a fucking port in your chest.
Well, that's more of an annoyance. I've got a complete and perfect bill of health.
Okay.
I am absolutely 100% cancer free. So it's really just a check on making sure that it's gone. And this is the kind of cancer that's not coming back. I don't go into remission. It just goes away.
Okay.
But maybe you and I, you know, can talk more about our moms later.
Sure.
But we've got some stuff on the horizon.
Yeah.
To look forward to.
We do.
In 2014, my show will premiere. I am currently in very active negotiations with a theater company here in town. I don't want to mention them just yet.
Okay.
Because I don't want to spoil anything just yet. I don't want to say anything until like the ink is dry on the contract kind of thing.
Sure.
But they are very interested in me from my reputation as being someone who does good work. They're very interested in the show. They love the idea. And they think they can get me a reviewable 3-week run, which is important for New York City theater, because no major publication is going to come out to a run that's less than 3 weeks. So having a 3-week run is perfect.
Hot diggity dog.
And bonus, no money out of my own pocket. We are in negotiations for them to actually produce it for me.
Huh.
Yeah.
Everything's coming up, Lugo.
Well, hold on. I mean, nothing is written in stone yet.
I know, but even the fact that they've expressed interest is
a big deal. That's a very, very big deal. And this is a very established, very beloved theater group in New York City that is known for really like weird and wonderful and, you know, off the wall kind of theater, and they're kind of celebrated for that. And that, I kind of think that's what my show is. My show is like a weird, kind of hard to describe thing. And I'm just really glad that they're willing to take a chance on it. Or at least considering taking the chance.
I'm still like, I know it's too early because, you know, it's not a done deal just yet. But
yeah.
I'm still very, very excited for you, because I feel like, even if nothing else, if let's say for some reason that doesn't happen, and I still think it will, but let's say it doesn't happen, that there's got to be a good morale boost. Knowing that this production company is interested in the show that you put together.
I've been feeling quite dejected lately.
And you can surely ride that into pitching it to the next several. Like,
oh, absolutely.
If you have to. Yeah. But
I think it's just some well-needed validation for me.
Precisely.
You know, and if it doesn't happen, at least this company, whom I admire and respect, was thinking about it. You know,
I'm very proud of you. I'm very excited for you. I just want to see this goddamn show. So in 2014, I don't know what the rest of you people will be doing, but I know that some point in 2014, I will be seeing Lugo's Gathering the Magic.
Me too. I will also be seeing it.
No, you won't. Well, you will never see it.
I will. That's true. No, that's not true. If it gets filmed.
That's not the same thing.
That's true. That's not the same thing either. What else? What else is good that's happening?
I am excited. I'm going to get back on the road in early 2014.
You're going on a tour.
I'm doing a 2-week West Coast tour in January, from January 8th to January 21st.
I'm so jealous. I want to go with you.
With my beloved homeboys, Adam Warrock and Tribe One.
Oh, man, I so want to be
there. All West Coast and a little bit inward. You can get all the tour dates at shafeofthedarklord.com, adamwarrock.com, tribeone.net. But I'm excited about that, because I could really stand to, having spent most of this year in isolation in the same one-bedroom apartment, I'm excited to get out there, go to the West Coast where I haven't been in a while.
Yeah, do what you love.
Do what I love. Yeah. Do it with friends who like inspire me.
Yeah.
And I like also that it's in January, because one, I get to escape January in New York for a couple weeks.
That's true.
And two, maybe it'll just kind of help define my outlook on the rest of the year.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm just incredibly excited. And that and South by Southwest and all the other various things that are happening.
I am so jealous of this tour. I want to go with you. Little side note, you and I were both at MC Frontalot's apartment for his birthday party.
For his 40th birthday.
For his 40th birthday party. And he was drinking a little bit. A lot.
Yeah, he was. I saw it.
But I kind of put a bit of an earworm in his brain.
Oh?
And I said, I would like to open for you.
Oh.
On the road.
Oh.
And that's exactly what he said. He went, oh. And it was that kind of, you know, I get the sense that he never even considered it, but it was a good idea. But he was also probably drunk at the time.
Lars was at the party. Did you pitch it to him too?
No, I did not.
Because Lars probably would have been like, hey, Lugo, let's talk about that. That sounds joyful.
Although, I can text him. I can drunk text a lot of these nerdcore rappers, and I do.
All right, settle down with your name dropping.
What else?
But well, that would be an exciting thing.
There is a lovely lady in my life.
Oh my goodness, there is a young, lovely young lady in your life.
I don't want to out her because she's actually quite private, and I don't have permission to out her just yet. But if you're a friend of mine on the internet, you probably already figured it out. She is absolutely wonderful. She's a joy to be around, and she makes me very, very happy.
Aww. Yeah. Congratulations, Nelson.
Yeah. We're still in the dating phase. Yeah. You know, there isn't there hasn't been a conversation of any kind of, you know, commitment or mutual exclusivity. But I'm certainly not seeing anyone. Yeah. And she's certainly not seeing anyone.
I hope she doesn't listen to this.
She probably does listen to this.
Really?
Yeah.
Because your podcast is terrible. And I don't know. It would be a deal breaker for me. If I started dating somebody and they were like,
I just refer to this as my podcast?
This has always been your podcast.
No, this is our podcast, oh, no. Sir.
We're going to hot potato with this thing? It would be a deal breaker for me if I started dating somebody like, oh, I make a podcast. Really? You have 16 episodes? Let's take a listen. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So she's actually very interested in podcasting, and she's gearing up for her own podcast pretty soon, actually.
Well, great. Well, tell you what, the first time that you have to cancel an appearance on this show, uh-huh. if the two of you continue to see each other,
yeah,
first time you have to cancel an appearance,
you're gonna bring her in.
She's gonna, yeah, she's filling in.
Oh, she'll totally do it.
Great.
She'll totally do it. I mean, you know,
and you'll probably get fired. You'll probably get replaced.
But she's absolutely fantastic.
Well, that's wonderful. I've only met her briefly, but she seems just wonderful. Yeah. And I'm very happy for you.
Yeah. So
congratulations. You know. So yeah, so there are sunnier things on the horizon.
Abso-fucking-lutely. We
can put this one to bed.
Yes, we can
put this old man to bed. Yes, and then there will be a baby in a top hat and a sash. That'll be rapping and dating and magicking.
But yeah, we're gonna, you know, do all kinds of stuff. I have ideas for you and me, for this next year, crazy, stupid project ideas that I have in mind.
That's all the only kind that I do.
Yeah. And, hopefully, you know, we'll have some fun. We'll make some money and we'll talk about it on the podcast. You know, there's always more comic books to read. There's always new movies to watch, more nerdy television to consume.
I have one more prediction for 2014. We are definitely going to send continued shout outs to C. Muldrow.
What up, C. Muldrow?
Oh, you thought we were going to go the whole time without a shout out to our number one listener.
We almost made it to the end of the podcast without dropping your name, C. Nope. Muldrow. Super fan C. Muldrow.
Someday we got to get her as a guest on this show.
She constantly sends you comic books. You know how many comic books she sent me?
She doesn't constantly. She sent me comic books for my birthday. I had
zero comic books
she sent me. Hey, I had one birthday this year.
So did I. I didn't get any comic books.
Maybe she sent them and I didn't give them to you? Can we talk about this after the show?
Well, yes, let's talk about it. C. Muldrow, you have a whole nother year to make up your comic book sending.
And also just come to New York and be a guest on our show.
Yeah. Why don't you tell you what, C. Muldrow, we are issuing a demand and or a request. Get your ass to New York because we are going to interview you, C. Muldrow, if you make it here.
Hey, did you get any emails, questions or anything for that?
No, I put it out. Nobody emailed us. I put out the request for emails. Oh, nobody emailed
us. So nobody, wait, that means nobody's even listening to this episode.
I highly doubt anyone is listening to this.
Well, then, ladies
episode.
And gentlemen.
Buggers.
Pie podcast. That's how we're putting 2013 to bed.
That's how we're doing it.
Yep.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been.
Oh, wait. I'm such a drunk. I forget everything.
Are you drunk now?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're not done yet. Phil.
No, we're gonna edit this out.
No, we're gonna leave it in.
Wait, no, seriously? Oh, come on. Well,
I have something for you.
Ladies and wait, you have what?
I have something for you.
You have something for Fuck you. What did you just do?
I want to make sure. Can you hear this?
Yeah, this makes great radio, by the way.
That's wrapping paper on a present. Everybody knows what that sound is.
Okay. Wait, are you seriously giving me a gift right now?
Yes, I'm giving you a Christmas present right now.
Why? Seriously, why?
It's because it's our end of the year. It's a holiday show.
Okay. Why are you doing... Wow, this is heavy. This is a very big box.
Yeah.
It's
got a child in it.
Really? Okay, I don't really know what to say or do right now.
Well, typically in our culture,
yeah,
around a holiday, a gift is given,
right?
But it's what the gift is disguised Christmas. In paper. It's, so you tear the paper open, yeah. And then you expose what the gift is inside.
But my gift for you, I don't have my gift for you yet. It's still in transit.
Don't care.
All right. This is... All right. Okay, so it's a poinsettia. What is... Oh, you motherfucker! You asshole!
What is it? What is it, Nelson?
Oh, fuck you! Fuck you! God damn it! Fuck!
What is it?
It's a unicycle! You asshole!
Yes, that's right.
God damn you, Schaefer! Fucking fuck balls.
I guess you're going to have to come up with something else to ask for Santa for the rest of your life.
God damn it.
Because now you've got it. Merry Christmas, Nelson.
Thank you, Schaefer. I love you very much.
I love you.
Merry Christmas, Schaefer.
Merry Christmas, Alfred.
Shit, I don't even know what to do. Yeah,
do the outro.
This has been I don't even know what the outro is anymore. This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 16. I am your host, Nelson Lugo,
and I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Ho ho ho! Bye. Thanks for listening to the Epic Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any sized contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of the Epic Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment. Hey, you guys. So 2 days after we recorded this episode, Nelson gave me the Christmas present that he said was in transit. And it was a samurai sword in a black and purple sheath, exactly like the one that I'm seen holding in illustrations from all of the promotional materials for my new album. And it was the best Christmas present I've ever received. So here's to a better 2014 for all of us. Take care.